Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the fifth Sunday of the season of Holy Lent, and today we read from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, and we read from chapter 5, the encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ with the man who was paralyzed for 38 years. I want us to meditate on two different things just for a moment. I want you to notice how it is that in the period of Lent, the Church keeps placing before us how it is that the Lord keeps encountering certain people. I want you to notice how it is in every encounter that the Lord meets a person. There seems to constantly be this approach where it is someone who is chasing another, one who is running after another. And you'll notice that in all the encounters, it's not the sick person who is pursuing the physician. It's always the great physician, the lover of mankind, our Savior, who is pursuing those who are sick. We seem to think that in our relationship with God, that it is us who are trying to appeal to God. And the world would convince us sometimes that what we are supposed to do is to somehow please Him, because He's sitting up in His throne in the kingdom, and He's upset at us because we've offended Him. And it's up to us to make sure to go back to Him and to apologize and to tell Him to forgive us, and so on and so forth. But if this is what we believe about the God that we worship, then there is a problem, because truly that's a testimony to the fact that we don't know our faith. When all of humanity was completely blinded by their sin and they could no longer look at God, it is God who came down to them. The relationship that exists between us and God is one where He is always the one who is pursuing us, not the other way around. It is the lover of mankind who is coming and who is knocking on the door of every single one of the hearts of those that He calls His own. It is Him who chases us, not the other way around. We see it in the encounter between Him and the Samaritan woman, where she didn't even know He existed, and He chased her down and He found her. We see it in the fact that when the prodigal son comes to his senses, he finds that his father has been waiting for him, and it is father who runs to him and does not even allow him to come fully to him. Today, this paralyzed man sits hopeless. He sits there hopelessly next to a body of water, hoping that he may be healed, and he has been sick for 38 years. There's something beautiful about some of the mysteries of how it is that the gospel uses numbers. You see, there's a lot of meaning when you try to dissect this idea of the 38 years. The symbolism behind the numerology is one that's really beautiful. We know that the number 3 is the number for completion. Hence why it is that we believe the Trinity is one in diversity, and diversity in one. We know that he has been sick for 30 plus 8, and 8 here is the number that represents the entirety of the world. Because if you remember, when Noah was allowed to take with him people on the ark before the flood came, it was him and his 3 sons and his wife and their wives. And once upon a time, the entire world was nothing more than those 8 people. In the 38 years that we see here, the Church is telling you and me, the entire world is found in the state of this man. All of humanity is represented in this man who is incapable of answering a simple question. What was the question that was asked of him? Do you want to be made well? Now, this is an interesting question, because anybody who is sitting next to this pool of water wants to be made well. The gospel even testifies to the fact that this was a known area, that an angel would come down and stir the waters, and the first person to go in would be healed. So anybody who's sitting next to this pool of water obviously wants to be healed. So why ask the question? Why ask the question? Because the truth is that some people only want to be made well insofar as nothing has to change. Now think about this for just a moment, please. If you were asked today, who wants to see a change in the world? Everyone would raise their hand. I want to see a change in the world. And if you were asked who is ready to change personally for the sake of the world, not many people would raise their hand, would they? All of us want to see a change in our circumstances, but not many of us are ready to change at the level of our hearts. We want everything to change around us, not realizing that the biggest problem in my circumstances is oftentimes me. You see, if I have problems at work, and I have problems with friends, and I have a problem in my home and in my relationships, and everywhere I go, there seems to be problems, chances are the problem is the common denominator. Chances are the problem is not my family, my friends, my boss, my co-workers, my neighbors. Chances are the problem is me. And I would love to see change around me, but I am not yet ready to change myself for the sake of seeing that change that is supposed to be positive. The man sits next to the pool of water, and his physically being there is supposed to be a testimony to the fact that he wants to be made well. But yet when the Lord comes to him, he asks him the simple question, do you really want to? Are you ready to change at the level of when you are made well, everything about you also changes? Now I want you to notice the words that are spoken by the man, and you tell me whether or not he answered the question. And Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Does he answer the question? Do you want to be made well? And he goes on to describe how his circumstances are miserable, and he's poor, and he's wretched, and he's unfortunate, and nobody is there to help him. Just answer the question. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to change? Do you want healing? I came here for you. I came to this area looking for you personally. I searched you out so that I can look you in the face and ask you this question. Just answer the question, do you want to be made well? Well, isn't it obvious? No, it's not obvious. It's not obvious. And if you don't have the humility to say, I am sick, I want to be made well, then there's an even bigger problem than your physical illness. This man receives healing despite being stubborn. This man receives healing despite not being able to confess and to say, I want to be made well. The love that God has for him is willing to even look past his ego, to look past his brokenness. But I think you and I are called to be a little bit better than this, knowing the love of God. That when we are asked, do you want to be made well? The answer should be, absolutely, Lord. Cleanse me, complete me. Create in me a new heart. Renew me entirely. Restore me back to what it is that you want me to be. But sometimes I'm afraid of doing this. I'm afraid of letting go and telling him to take over. I'm afraid of him changing me. There's a beautiful story. It's not beautiful. It's actually very sad. But it's still beautiful in the fact that it reflects what often happens in my own heart. We know that St. Augustine was baptized very late in his life. And we know that St. Augustine lived a life that was one that was very worldly. And he was a man who was very devoted to his passions. And he lived a sinful life. And this is why his mother Monica prayed for him. She prayed for him night and day with many tears. And he even ran away from his mother and didn't tell her that he was going to Rome because he was tired of his mother nagging him. So he got up and left, and she followed him, knowing that he went to Rome but having no idea where he was. And then his mother encountered a holy man by the name of Ambrose of Milan. Ambrose, who was the bishop and the patriarch of that city. And she told him, pray for my son. And little did she know that he knew him. And St. Ambrose decided that he was going to approach Augustine and speak to him, even though Augustine used to make fun of Christians. Augustine was a very smart man. And he used to think that Christians were people who did not have the intellectual capacity to make sense of the world, and so they believed in nonsense. Augustine would read the Bible only so that he can make fun of it when dealing with Christians. But when he met Ambrose, he met a man who was both faithful and intellectual, and he loved him very much, and he became his disciple. But he still would not get baptized. Because in his heart he knew, the moment I will get baptized, I'm going to have to change. The moment I get baptized, the things that I like, the pleasures that I give into, the desires and the passions within me that I enjoy, I'm going to have to start saying no to those things. And so he delayed his baptism. And so he used to pray in his heart and say what? Send repentance, O Lord, just not now. Send repentance, O Lord, just not now. Why? Because I'm not done with my sin. I want to enjoy it a little bit longer. I want to take pleasure in the things that I want to freely choose, even if I know that they are wrong. Do you want to be made well? Augustine would answer and say, not now. No. Really? But you love the bishop and you know the bishop and you're studying the faith and you intend on getting baptized. Yes. Yes, all of those things are true. Do you want to be made well? No, not now. I believe there's a little bit of Augustine inside me. I believe that when the Lord asks me, do you want to be made well? I want to say yes. I want to say yes, but I am afraid that if I say yes, I know what that means. I know the change that will have to happen. I know the things I will have to give up. And I know that my heart is not yet ready. And this is a reflection of my brokenness. Don't think that the Lord asks an obvious question and that the answer should be obvious. The answer is not obvious when we're dealing with humanity. I want to want to. I want to be good. I want to be healed. I want to be restored. But am I ready for the cost that comes with it? The Lord chases you and me. It is not us who is chasing Him. It is Him who is chasing us. He chases us and He says, do you want to be made well? Because I am ready to heal you. I am ready to restore you. I am ready to give you everything that you need so you can be sanctified and holy and righteous. I have to be better than this. I need to prepare myself to be able to say, yes, Lord, I am ready. Because if I am still not ready, then when? When will I be ready? For how long will I say not now? For how long will I argue with Him and fight Him on this? I should be ready to say, yes, Lord, I want to be made well. The psalm that we read today in the Gospel is Psalm 33, and it says, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. If by His word the heavens were made, how much more will His words heal us? How much more when He says, be healed, be restored, be mine, will those words completely transform me? I have to desire that more than anything else. That has to be my goal. That has to be what I teach my children to want above everything else. Do you want to be made well? Let this be the question that is on your mind until the feast arrives in just 3 weeks. We only have these 3 weeks left of our fasting. Let this be the question that keeps you up at night. Let this be the question that is constantly on your heart. Do I want to be made well? And don't be too quick to say, of course I do. Ask yourself, do you know what it means? Ask yourself, have you weighed the cost? So that when the feast comes and we look at each other and we say that Christ is risen, we may be ready to say, rise us up with you, O Lord. Heal us completely and restore us. May him who chases every single one of his flock, may he who pursues all of those who are his children, when he asks us, do we want to be made well, may we be ready to tell him, yes, Lord, we are. To him be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.